Let us call upon the name of our covenant God together in congregational prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come unto thee, having been drawn to thy side by the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of our salvation in him from all of our sin and death and misery, our redemption from death and woe appalling. We have heard the good news of thy love for us revealed in the cross and resurrection of our Lord. We have heard the good news of our Savior's love for his own, even unto the end, so that with his face set towards the cross, though thy wrath pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, he submitted unto thee and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore thou also hast highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to thy glory. And thou through this good news hast assured us that we now assembled in thy courts have the right to gaze upon thy face, and that being made upright through the righteousness of our Lord, and being counted righteous for his sake, that we are the upright who in rapture gaze on thy face. We do that this evening as thou hast assembled us in thy courts for worship. Father, we come before thee with our hearts full of song and prayer and praise unto thee. For thou hast been good to us, and thy mercies are as high as the heaven is above the earth. We have seen thy mercy to us this evening in the confession of faith of the young man who has stood before church and world, before all creatures on the earth and all creatures in heaven, and who has stood before even the devil and all his host, and has confessed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and has confessed the truth of thy word and the doctrine of thy word, and has confessed his determination to adhere to this doctrine and to reject all heresies repugnant thereto and to lead a new godly life. We take all of this, Father, as a testimony of thy goodness. For we recognize that in ourselves such a confession is utterly impossible, that in ourselves we would stand before the citizens of heaven and earth and curse thy name and blaspheme and contradict thee. We know that about ourselves, for thy word has revealed our fallen Adam and our inherent corruption. So it is only thy grace, which grace then we have seen can cause us to confess thy name, to love thee, and to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that thou wilt use the confession of faith this evening also as an example to the children who are assembled here and who have seen and heard with their own eyes and ears a confession regarding the truth, and who have seen with their eyes and heard with their ears the importance of that truth, so that there is nothing in all of the world that is more precious than it, and so that thy people traverse the length and breadth of the earth in order to be able to confess what thou hast done for us. May that be a good example then to our children, that they too may learn the truth of thy word, that they too may love it, that they too may be warmed and cheered by it, that they too, with conviction and boldness, without regard even for their own life, may stand and confess it. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember thy church in the midst of this world, in all of her afflictions and sufferings, We recognize that thy church is always despised by men, as our Lord has taught us to beware of men who shall deliver us up to their councils and scourge us in their synagogues, and who shall bring us before kings and magistrates and rulers and governors for the sake of Jesus Christ. We have heard our Lord tell us that we shall be hated of all men for thy sake and for thy truth's sake. We have heard thy word, which tells us that the church is always a remnant in this world, and always as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, about to be swallowed with the swelling, climbing vines in that cucumber patch. But Father, our hope and our trust is in thee. For thou art our God, and we are thy people and the sheep of thy hand. We are the apple of thine eye, that thou dost love and cherish and protect. We are thy Israel. This is a wonder to us, an absolute wonder, a wonder of thy grace, a wonder of thy love, a wonder of thy mercy. So we beseech thee, Father, that thou wilt strengthen us in this evening, that we may worship thee aright, that we may call upon thy name now in prayer, and in the singing of thy word, and in the reading and preaching of thy word, and the hearing of thy word, and in the giving of our offerings, that in all of this we may honor and glorify thy name. For thou art worthy of all honor, and our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of all praise. For thou hast loved us, who were unlovable, who were thine enemies by nature. Thou hast redeemed us, who in ourselves were helpless. Thou hast gathered us to thyself, and made us members of thy family, and citizens of thy kingdom, and members of thy church. We thank thee, Father, that we may also in this evening receive the membership of several families. We pray thy blessing upon the Sterets, upon the Van Buren's, and upon the Engelsmas, as they join us now. We pray that thou wilt continue to knit us together in the bond of truth, in our Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no bond in all of this world that can withstand the assaults of the devil and his host, that can withstand the assault of many enemies, but the Lord himself. We pray, Father, that thou wilt give us one mind together. Though we are very different as members of this church, each with our own place and calling, each with our own gifts from thee, nevertheless united in one mind and one faith and one confession. What a wonder this is. It is marvelous to us that thou dost not leave us alone in this world, but thou art with us. And thou dost join us and gather us to thy church, to thy bride, to thine own body in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that thou wilt sanctify the lips of thy servant who brings thy word tonight, and thou cause that he may cry, "Thus saith the Lord," that he may open up the scriptures and expound them, so that the word that goes forth from his lips, though it is carried on his breath, though it is in the sound of his voice, may be the very word of thee, our God, and the very word of Jesus Christ. And do, Father, for us as we hear that word, what no earthly man can do. That is, by the breath of thy Spirit, carry that word of our Lord deep into our hearts. Unite that word to our hearts and enliven us by it. We pray, Father, that thou wilt build and strengthen our faith by it, our faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whom alone is all our redemption found. We pray that thou wilt prepare our hearts to hear. Cause that our ears may not be uncircumcised and closed and deaf, which we are by nature, but open our ears. We pray that thy word may be brought deep into the recesses of our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may with true faith follow Jesus Christ, our Lord, as true disciples of his by thy grace. Remember, Father, that we are dust. Remember that our days are so brief. And then hold us in the palm of thy hand and strengthen us in all of our way. We pray that thou wilt also forgive our sins, blotting them out in the blood of Jesus Christ, and assuring us by thy holy gospel that we are forgiven indeed. We beseech thee, Father, that thou wilt raise up men to proclaim that gospel of salvation and forgiveness. Give to us, ministers of the word, lay upon the hearts of men to consider whether it is thy call for them to prepare for the ministry and being called by the Lord through thy church to preach the gospel. Truly the fields are white unto harvest. We see it. We hear from those who long to be gathered with us. Truly the fields are white unto harvest, and truly the laborers are few, as our Lord said, so that it is no surprise to us. And also as our Lord said, Father, we cry unto thee, send forth laborers into thy harvest, that all of thy people may be gathered. Wilt thou hear our prayer? Cause us to gaze upon thy face in rapture, in wonder, in awe. Cause us to see our Lord, our Savior, who has loved us, and who is the demonstration of thy love for us. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offering. The one offering this evening is for the building fund.
Thank you.
Psalter number 71, the fearlessness of faith, the five stanzas, all five of 71. Turn in God's word this evening to John chapter 8. John 8. We'll begin our reading at verse 12 and read through the end of the chapter. John 8, beginning at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is the word of God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. Our text is verses 30 through 32. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as he stood in the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed the Jews and the Pharisees who were there listening to him regarding the truth of discipleship and what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he began this whole speech in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus instructed the Jews on what it meant to follow him who was the light of the world. And the Jews, as they heard Jesus' word, mocked him and ridiculed him, denied that he spoke the truth, and would have nothing to do with his word. The Jews hated him and were opposed to him. Except for a small remnant, though there were many of them, a small remnant who believed the words that Jesus spoke. And to them Jesus turned and gave instruction further regarding discipleship. If ye heed and continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. At the occasion of confession of faith, we hear Jesus' instruction regarding true discipleship and what it means to be Jesus' disciple indeed. Let us consider this word of God then under the theme, My Disciples Indeed. In the first place, consider the making of a disciple. In the second, consider the essence of discipleship. In the third place, consider the freedom of a disciple. Jesus' words, my disciples indeed, the making of a disciple, the essence of discipleship, and the freedom of a disciple. Jesus spoke the words of our text and the context as he stood in the temple. And so we can imagine ourselves there with the Lord Jesus Christ, the grand building of the temple surrounding us, a great throng, a large assembly of people listening to the Lord. In this throng were the Jews. In this throng were the Pharisees. And all of them listening to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words that the Lord spoke to the people in the temple that day were captivating. They were absolutely captivating. For the Lord Jesus Christ was instructing them in his own identity. He was telling them who he was. He said to them, I am the light of the world. And he said to them, I am not from beneath, but from above. And I am not of this world. And my Father is the one who sent me. Jesus was telling the people his own identity as the very Son of God and as the light of the world in whom alone salvation is found. That would have been captivating to hear. It's captivating for us to read now and to know the identity of that one who is your light, that one who is your Savior. As Jesus spoke to them, he also instructed them in their own identity. He said to the Jews and the Pharisees who surrounded him, you are not from above, you are from below. And he said to them, you cannot hear my words, you cannot hear my words, because you are not of my Father. For my Father sent me to speak his word, to reveal his truth. And you cannot and will not hear it because you are of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you will do, for he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And as Jesus spoke these words then in the temple, he warned the people regarding their own sin. He warned them that except they believe in him, they would die in their sins. For he was going to a place where they could not find him and where they could not follow him, except he would bring them with him. That was a stern warning and a sharp call to all of those Jews and Pharisees in the temple. Except you believe in me, ye shall perish in your sins. And Jesus, as he spoke to the people in the temple, revealed to them that the only salvation, the only hope that they could have was through him. For he was the light of the world. He was the light that illuminated all of the darkness. He was the light that showed the way to glory, which was his own self. And that apart from him, there was only death and the devil and perishing. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words in the temple, and they were absolutely captivating as the people heard them. They were hanging on his every word. But we find as we read through John 8 that the audience that day in the temple was hostile. The crowd that assembled there was not interested in hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And their hostility comes out in the fact that when Jesus would declare who he was and who his father was, the Jews would instantly contradict him. They would speak a word against his word. They would question the truth of his word, and it even came to the point where they started laughing and elbowing each other and saying, ah, here's this Samaritan. Here's this one who has a devil. The word that he speaks is not God's word. The word that he speaks is a devil's word. And when Jesus would answer them and say, I have not a devil, I speak to you the things that my Father sent me to speak. When he spoke to them of believing in him and having life everlasting so that one would not die, then they became uproarious in their mockery of him. Now we know he has a devil. Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. And yet you say, if one believes in you, he shall not die. Who do you make yourself, Jesus? Who do you make yourself? These Jews were hostile to him as he spoke these beautiful words of the gospel of his Father to them. And the hostility of the Jews also comes out in the fact that they hated him so much that they were looking for a way to kill him. At the end of the chapter, that's obvious. Because when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, and took on his own lips that precious, special name of God, that name Jehovah, or that name I am that I am, and they considered him to be blaspheming by identifying himself as Jehovah, they took up stones to stone him, but he passed by through the midst. But even before as Jesus was speaking to them, their hatred of him came out, as Jesus himself saw, who knew their hearts, and who said unto them, "You seek to kill me. You seek to kill me because you are not of my Father. And when you seek to kill me, you are showing that you are not even children of Abraham. Abraham never sought to kill me. Abraham heard the word of God and believed that word of God. But when you do not believe my word, you reveal your hatred of me and your desire to kill me." The audience to which Jesus spoke was hostile to him, and they were especially hostile, especially angry when Jesus identified his cause with the cause of the Father, with the cause of God. And when Jesus, throughout his speech, showed to them, "I have been sent here. I have been sent here by God. I have been sent here by my Father. And the words that I speak to you, I speak because he gave them to me to speak to you. And when I tell you these things, I'm telling you the word of God himself." The Jews hated that. They could not suffer Jesus to speak that way. And so their hostility increases as the conversation goes on until finally they have rocks in their hands, sharp rocks with jagged edges, heavy to break a man's bones, which they would throw at the Lord and crush him to death. So much did they hate him. And suddenly, in the midst of Jesus speaking to this hostile audience of the Jews, suddenly, there are many Jews who believe. That's our text. That's something different in the midst of an entire chapter of opposition to Jesus. Suddenly, many of the Jews which were there when they heard these words of Jesus believed on him. And Jesus turned to these Jews who believed on him and said to them, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How can this be explained? That these Jews, who had begun the day hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ, now believed on him. Well, the answer to that question is that the Lord, by his words that he spoke to them, made disciples of them. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his word, gave them faith so that they now believed in and knew this Lord Jesus Christ. They knew him as their only hope. They believed the words that he said, that except ye believe in me, ye shall die in your sins. They believed him for who he was, the light of the world and the Son of God. They believed him in what he said about their own condition, that they were by nature enemies of him, by nature children of the devil, and that without him they would perish in their sins. They knew him to be the only way of salvation for them, their only hope left in the world. As Jesus spake these words unto them, they believed on him. The wonder that Jesus worked is the wonder of giving to them faith. He gave to these Jews a true faith. And the nature of the faith that Jesus gave to them was a union with himself, so that there was a connection between them and between him. And the Word of God indicates that union and connection here in that word on, they believed on him. And that's a translation of a Greek word that literally means into, right into him. Now, it doesn't make sense for us to say they believed into Jesus. It doesn't make sense in English, so it's translated on. But the idea of that word on is that they were believing into him. There was a union and a connection so that they were right into him who is the light of the world and the Son of God. And so that now all of their life flowed out of him and came from him. They believed on him with that faith that is a union between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ works in our hearts as he speaks his words to us. He unites us to himself so that there is a union and a connection between his people and himself. And all of our life comes from him. We live that life out of him. These Jews who believed were also given to know and to trust in Jesus. And that comes out in that word believed. Both the word believed and the word on are describing this faith, but they're describing it from different points of view. That word on describes the essence of that faith, the union and the bond of that faith. And that word believed describes the knowledge and confidence that these Jews had. Can you see them there? Can you see them in the temple surrounded by all their fellow Jews, surrounded by the Pharisees who were well known and famous in Israel for being strict keepers of the law, for being first-class religious citizens in the land? And these Jews who had begun the day as one with all of those other Jews now are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had come into that temple ignorant of spiritual things. They thought they knew a lot spiritually. They thought they knew who God was. They thought they were confident, but it was all confidence in the flesh. And now they have confidence in Jesus Christ. They believe on him. That's their only confidence. They believe who he is, the light of the world. They believe their own sin and their own corruption. They believe that through him alone is their salvation. What a joyful thing for those Jews who believed to be given that gift of faith by Jesus Christ. And how did Jesus Christ give them that gift of faith? He gave them that gift as he said these words, by his speaking, by his powerful words. Verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ are not like any other words. All the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are words, the words that we might use in any other setting in our life. We can speak these words of the Lord Jesus Christ using the English language or the Greek language or Hebrew or whatever language in the world. These words have a human sound and a human form. But these words carry along with them a truth, and the truth that is unlike any other word in the world. These words are the words of truth. They're the words of things as they really are. And the way things really are have to do, first of all, with Jehovah God himself. Jehovah God is truth. He is the truth. And all of the truth that is carried forth on these words is about him and tells about him. And Jesus was doing that as he spoke these words. He was telling the truth about Jehovah, telling the truth about who he is as Jesus' Father, telling the truth about what God had done in sending Jesus to speak these words and reveal the way of salvation through his own cross. And Jesus had come to the heart of those words regarding truth, regarding the reality of salvation, when he had said to the Jews, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." When you lift up the Son of Man, when you crucify him upon the cross, when you thrust him away from yourselves as some despicable, disgusting thing to be rid of, then you will know that I am he. For what man would bring salvation through a cross, through a wretched cross, through a disgusting cross reserved for the scum of the legal system, through the cross, which was not a word fit for polite society, so that if you said the word cross in someone's living room, that would be like saying a four-letter word. What man would bring salvation through the cross? When you lift up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, that salvation is being accomplished as only God can accomplish that salvation, and as only the wisdom of God would bring that salvation. Then you shall know that I am he. Those were the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, words concerning himself, words concerning salvation from sin and death and hell through the wisdom of the Lord God. And through those words, as he spake those words, many believed on him. But you know that, don't you? You know that because that's how you have faith. And that's how I have faith. The words of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel of his salvation, is spoken, and you believe into him, and you know him, and trust him, and know the truth about God, the truth about Christ, and the truth about yourself. You know the only hope is through this Jesus Christ, and through his gospel, through his words. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives this gift of faith to his people by those words, as the Holy Spirit takes those words and makes them effectual in the hearts of his elect. These words were heard by all. Everyone in the temple that day was captivated. They couldn't leave until they were ready to stone him. They couldn't leave. They had to hear it. They were hanging on his every word, hanging on his every word, ready to contradict him, but hanging on his every word nevertheless. They all heard those words. But many of the Jews, most of the Jews that day, did not believe, though they heard the very same thing as the believers. Most of them did not believe because they were not the children of God. They were not his elect, but they were the reprobate. They were of their father, the devil, and the works that the devil did, so they did, and the lies that the devil told, they believed and repeated. Only the many who were his own, the many of the Jews who were chosen by him, were given faith that day. And what a comfort for those Jews, many of them, but yet a little band, in the midst of this full temple, who heard Jesus and who were unbelievers. What a comfort for them that the Lord had given them this faith according to his own eternal decree. What a comfort for you. What a comfort for me. Because what happens when we go out the doors tonight, what happens to that faith? What happens to that knowledge of Christ and that confidence, and that union to Him? Does that go away? What happens when my old man of sin tempts me this evening and on the morrow? I find myself weak in the face of that temptation. What happens to that faith? Does it go away? It cannot. It cannot. Because that faith is given by the Word of God, is worked by the Holy Spirit to His own, to His elect, so that that faith depends not on what we are, or what we do, or what we feel, but depends on the electing mercy of Jehovah God in Jesus Christ, who gives us this faith as we hear His words. Jesus then turned to these believing disciples and instructed them in the essence of discipleship, in what discipleship of Jesus really, truly is. That's how we ought to understand verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." There are many who come to verse 31 and say that Jesus is now looking askance at the faith of these disciples. And Jesus is doubting the truth of their faith. So that Jesus is saying to them, "Oh, sure, you say you believe. That's easy. Anybody can say they believe. But you have to continue in My word. You continue in it, and then you are My disciples indeed." There are those who explain this verse then as being a kind of extension of the parable of the sower, the different kinds of soil that the seed fell on, and that Jesus was warning them against being rocky soil hearers, where the word of God falls on their hearts and is snatched away by the birds, or of being thorny soil hearers or shallow soil hearers, where the word of God falls on their hearts and springs up for a little while, but then is withered by the sun or choked out by the weeds. Jesus is saying to them, so the explanation goes, don't be a rocky soil hearer or a thorny soil hearer or a shallow soil hearer, but continue in My word, and then you shall be My disciple indeed. Jesus is not doubting their faith. Jesus is not looking askance at that faith. Jesus is not telling them, that's a good start, but now you better get busy to make a good end, or you won't be My disciple after all. Jesus is turning to the Jews who believe. He turns to them and addresses them for their own comfort and for their own instruction. Jesus does that to those Jews the way He does to you when you hear His words and believe on Him. He turns to you and says, "Now, my disciples, let me tell you what you have been given. Let me tell you what you have as My disciples. Let me tell you the essence of discipleship." And the essence of discipleship is this: we continue in His word. That's the gift of God to His people. As much as faith itself is the gift of God to His people, continuing in His word is the gift of God to His people. When Jesus says the word indeed, then, He is not saying by that word indeed, here is what you do in order truly to become My disciple. But He is saying to them, here is the essence, the very essence of a disciple. Here's what makes a disciple indeed. that you continue in my word as I give that to you. What Jesus is describing here then is the essence of discipleship. And to be a disciple means to follow someone. Jesus introduced that idea in verse 12. He that followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. A disciple is one who follows. John the Baptist had disciples. There was a group that would gather around him every day at the Jordan River as he would baptize and as he would preach the gospel of the kingdom and the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There were those who followed him daily so much that they were known as his disciples, so that later people could speak to Jesus about the disciples of John who do this, that, or the next thing, as compared to the disciples of Jesus who do this thing. A disciple is a follower of someone. And Jesus is speaking here about his disciples. Ye shall be my disciples indeed, my followers indeed. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who follows him, one who is found with him. And how is it that one is a disciple of Jesus Christ? How does one follow the Lord? By continuing in his word. Continuing in his word. That's what following Jesus Christ looks like. He instructs us here in the essence of following him. It is to continue in his word and to abide in his word. The essence of discipleship then has nothing to do with physical considerations. It has nothing to do with following Jesus physically, we might say, in this location or in that location. But the essence of discipleship has to do with Jesus' word and continuing and abiding in Jesus' word. Why is that discipleship? Why is that the essence of it? Because this faith that Christ gives looks to that word. This faith knows Jesus through that word. This faith trusts Jesus through that word, which is the truth concerning God. Jesus indicates that in the very next verse when he says, "Ye shall know the truth, the reality of things, the reality of God, and all his being and all his working, the reality of his Son, Jesus Christ, and all his salvation. Ye shall know the truth, as that truth is taught in the Word of God." And isn't that the gift that God has given us? That word is proclaimed, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of his cross and his resurrection, the truth of salvation from sin and death. And you take hold of it. You almost might say you can't help but take hold of it. That's that faith that God gives us to know, trust, and believe in Jesus Christ, continuing in his word. And that means then that the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot tolerate the lie. He can't tolerate it. It's not the truth. It's not the words of his Lord. He hates that lie. He hates that lie as he finds it in his own heart, in his own sinful nature. He detests it. probably weeps over it. He can't tolerate it. It's not the truth. He hates that lie, as the lie appears in a false doctrine or an error of theology. He hates that lie as it appears in an impure word preached from the pulpit of the church. Can't tolerate that lie, because that lie is not the word of God. And the essence of discipleship, the essence of this following Jesus as the Lord gives it to us, is that we continue in his word and abide in his word and abide in that truth. The child of God is the enemy of the lie as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's even reflected in the confession of faith questions that are asked of everyone who makes confession of faith. Do you promise to adhere to this doctrine? That's the word of God. That's continuing and abiding in his word, adhering to this doctrine, and to reject all heresies repugnant thereto. That rejection of all heresies repugnant thereto is the believer's hatred and intoleration of the lie. That is why it is so cruel, so utterly cruel to the sheep of the pasture of Jesus Christ to insist that when there is a lie being proclaimed, that they have to be quiet about it, that they mayn't talk about it, that if they try to talk about it, they'll be charged with sin, be charged with gossip or slander or some other thing. That's cruel to the sheep. That's cruel to disciples of Jesus Christ, because the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ who follow him can't tolerate that lie. They choke on it. They hate it. They detest it. They reject it, but are told they may do all those things. The sheep are beaten until they be quiet about it, or until they're killed. It's cruelty to the sheep of Jesus Christ. The essence of discipleship is that God gives us his word and causes us to continue in it and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that word and in that truth. That word in which we continue as his disciples is the word of Jesus Christ. He says, "If ye continue in my word." That word is not tied to any particular denomination. Jesus does not say here, if you continue in First Reformed Protestant Church, then are ye my disciples indeed. He says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And if there comes a day when the word of Jesus departs from this church because this church becomes consumed with man, the things of man, and darkness, and has no interest in the light and the light of the world, and if the word of Jesus departs from this church someday, because this church, thinking it's being merciful, fails to discipline for sin and for error, and if the word of Christ departs from this church someday, because this church rises up to beat and to kill those sheep who speak the truth, then you follow Jesus' word wherever it goes by going out of this church, by leaving this place. The essence of discipleship is not tied to any particular denomination. But if ye continue in my word, says Jesus, then are ye my disciples indeed. The essence of discipleship is not tied to any individual office bearer, let's say the minister of the church. If it ever happens, God forbid, but if it ever happens that your minister teaches false doctrine, and your minister continues in it, or tolerates it, or tries to make room for you to tolerate it, then you don't follow this minister. Jesus doesn't say, if you continue in the word of that individual man, then are you my disciples indeed. If this minister ever introduces false doctrine and insists on it, becomes hardened in it, you leave that minister. You go away from him if the church will not put him out first. And the essence of discipleship is not tied to any particular family. Jesus does not say, if ye abide in a good family relationship, if ye maintain the extended family, then are ye my disciples indeed. But he says, if ye abide and continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And if that means that in our own family relationships, there are those who will not have the word of Jesus Christ, or who can tolerate the lie that militates against that word, so that the family relationship breaks down, then you do not sacrifice the word and the truth for the sake of that family relationship. The essence of discipleship is not tied to the things of this earth. The essence of discipleship is found in the word of Jesus Christ, in his truth, which he causes us to know. The gracious gift of our God and our Savior to his disciples is freedom. Freedom in that truth. Utter freedom. It's spiritual freedom of which the Lord speaks. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's not saying here that you will be liberated from your taxes, or you will be liberated from some oppressive government. Jesus is speaking here of spiritual freedom in the truth. You shall be free of sin. Free of sin. What a freedom that is. The child of God who comes into the house of God, into the temple, and knows that by nature he is like all of those other Jews and Pharisees who do not believe. He's worse than them all. And yet he's liberated from his sin. For the death of the Lord Jesus Christ covers him. And he stands before God clothed in the perfect righteousness and obedience of Jesus Christ, a righteousness not his own, but a righteousness counted and imputed to him as his own. There's liberation for the child of God. Who do you have to fear in all the world when the judge of heaven and earth has already declared regarding you, you're righteous in my Son, and I do not condemn you for Jesus' sake. There's liberation in the truth from all the darkness and all the corruption of man. Jesus brings up that darkness at the beginning. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How wearying to walk in darkness. How wearying to be under the bondage of the whim and the pleasure and the will of man. There's no light there. You can't find your way there. You can't see clear to know what is right there. But in the light of the world, united to Jesus Christ, we have light and are liberated from that darkness. The child of God may stand before a great event in his life and be bewildered by it. He may be in bondage to that event. He may think to himself something like this: how can I ever go out of my mother church? How can I ever go out? There's a bondage there on his heart. He doesn't see the way clear. He thinks perhaps that in the mother is all the truth, and forgets that the truth belongs to Jesus Christ. And then the Lord takes him out, and he says, I'm free. I'm free in that truth. I'm free from all that bondage, and all that lying, and all that evil. What freedom there is in the truth. Why is it that there's such freedom in that truth? Because the nature of our salvation is this: that God takes everything of you and of me away. He strips it away. And he gives us Christ. He gives us his righteousness and his life and his inheritance and his rights to Father's presence. He gives us Christ, and having Christ, we have everything. We have everything. So that whatever else could be taken away here doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter. That's freedom in the truth. That's liberation in the truth. And that's the gift of Jehovah God to his people. The gift of faith, the gift of discipleship, the gift of that essence of discipleship, which is continuing in those words and knowing those words and knowing that truth. And that truth shall make you free. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this evening. Bless it to our hearts. Forgive all of our sins against thee. We thank thee for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his truth and his word, and the faith that thou dost give us, and by which we are thy disciples. Hear our prayer, answer us in mercy, and apply thy word for Jesus.